This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Sharon Sarles. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we teach that God wants total well-being for all children. Yes, and I just heard somebody in my ear say, you understand, imagination hearing, but I heard somebody say, oh yeah, well then why are we doing this coronavirus thing? Well, newsflash, this is not something that God created. So my understanding is that this was human engineered. The reason I think I know that is because the Israeli government said so back in, early February, late January. I subscribed to a news aggregating service, a Christian teaching service, and you may not like all of the policies of the Israeli government. I have no quarrel with it at all, but I don't think anybody in the world says that the IDF are bad spies. Okay, so that's what I think. I have a good friend who is just certain that this came from bats, and she points out that Holy Scripture says you're not supposed to eat bats. Right. So God didn't create this. God, if we had followed God's plan, we wouldn't be here. Yes, and another preacher, more famous, and I'll give him credit, more knowledgeable and more spiritual than I am. I mean, I think he's ahead of me. Hallelujah. I'm glad to have somebody ahead of me. Somebody I respect said that God told him this week that, and I'm recording this on March the 19th, 2020. He said God told him that this is a day of reckoning. You know, that doesn't mean that God created it. So if we created something bad, we meaning humans, created something bad or did something bad, and here we are, you know, I think right now we need to be having a convention to outlaw weapons, bioweapons. But anyway, that could still be a reckoning. We are in a reckoning. We have been going farther and farther from the will of God and the instructions of God, and it's pretty interesting where the outbreaks are. And of course you can figure out contingent causes for that, you know. Bigger cities have a higher density, and people who travel more, and cultures that touch each other more. But you know, there's also an overlay of where we've got more sin in the world, more hostility to God, and that's where the virus is going. So here in Austin, to say that, to breathe the idea that this is God's judgment is simply verboten. Well, folks, what would happen if? You mean you can't make that rule, because what would happen if God gave judgment and then you had prophets telling you, false prophets, like in Old Testament Israel, that you couldn't say that? Then what would happen is that the good effect of the judgment wouldn't happen and people wouldn't turn to the Lord. Okay, look, the most positive outlook on this is it. Let us use this as a wake-up call. Let us be more prepared. Yes, let us outlaw weapons, bioweapons of mass destruction, yes, and let us turn to the Lord. Strong family, strong economy. Thank God. Thank God we have the administration that we have today. Thank God, because we have a strong economy with which to weather this. If we had continued to go down the path that we were economically, we would be in a terrible disaster. And I just, you know, I subscribe to a whole lot of things. And Rick Green, who is the constitutional, yes, he lives in this metro area, and he's a conservative teacher of the Constitution. And he pointed out that the regulation that permits the federal government to get involved with isolation and quarantine, well, with quarantine, this is not a law, folks. This is a regulation. And it was instituted the very last day of the Obama administration, the very day before Trump came into office. This is fishy. And it has also been pointed out by again, somebody very reputable, that we tend to have an outbreak every 4 years on election years. I don't know. And I know, so some of my listeners are just going to throw this out. Conspiracy theory and not think anymore. Well, you know, most conspiracy theories have a grain of truth. And the point here is, things are fishy. And it's not about toilet paper. And it's not because we need water. But it's not good that we're in this situation. It's time to permit a turnaround. It is time. It is a day of reckoning. And God didn't cause it. But let God use it. There is a saying. Well, we use it as a saying. It's a Bible verse. Satan meant it for evil, but God means it for good. God means it for good. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Okay? So get your heart right with God. Get your house clean and, you know, both figuratively and literally, and let's take care of our children. Now, I have been in a series about either Wuhan or about healing since January, and I am tired of it. You know, it's time to post pretty pictures of flowers on Facebook, as people are saying the stupidest things. I just couldn't believe it. So, I'm going to tell you. Saturday, I went out, because I'd already planned 2-3 weeks ago to kind of stay in. But Saturday, I went out to get some pastries, because I was too tired and too busy to make pastries for the Sunday worship gathering I was at. Yes, it was less than 10 people, even though the rule was 250. But anyway, we went out, and I went to a kind of health foodie type grocery store that I shop at, and everything was normal there. Everything was normal, except that there wasn't much produce there. I was able to get what I needed for salads, but really, I've never seen such low stock on produce. And everybody was acting normal. There were two women there who did not belong. They looked much poorer than everyone else in the store. And there's ethnic diversity in the store. But these women really stood out. And they were the only ones that had their cart full of water. Here are aisles and aisles and aisles of things to take if you get sick or to prevent you from getting sick, supplements, essential oils. But no, they got the water. And there is no expectation that the tap is going to be turned off. And here, the whole store was other people acting normal, buying normal groceries. And I smiled at them as kindly as I could, trying to find something kind to say. No, and I was just thinking, look around you. These people are obviously more moneyed than you, likely more educated and intelligent than you. They're not buying water. Why are you buying water? Why aren't you buying some other things that you need? Finally, I decided, well, maybe they'd weathered Katrina, and so water was very precious to them. Bless their hearts. Okay, well, anyway, I just got off of Facebook, right? Because I post for the broadcast, I have to get on Facebook. And there was a gal from my seminary. She's not a stupid woman, who had a misstatement from the president. It's really obvious. That's not the point of what he was talking about. It was just simply misspoken. And I said, listen, honey, have you never misspoken from the pulpit? Because anybody who's preached a lifetime has. Have you never misspoken? Not once. Maybe you ought to check out John Wesley's sermon on the cure of evil speaking. That's sermon number 49, I believe. Widely available in print and audio, in which he references Ephesians 4 and 31. vilification of somebody is a sin in itself. And this is the current president of the United States. What she was doing was unconscionable, right? It was a sin, but also it was not helpful. Much better the people who were getting together to pray. And I date this and post this. I post this on Thursday, but it's dated on Saturday. So on the 19th, I just got Facebook message that many people are gathering virtually on at 7 o'clock tonight to pray against the pandemic. Praise God. And you know, that's gone on. We had a National Day of Prayer on the 15th, and I read Franklin Graham's email. Of course, it was the president who called this. This is something that we did traditionally in the past in this country, not so much lately, to call national days of prayer and fasting and pray about our troubles. And so, which camp would you like to be in? The one that is being unhelpful and taking political advantage, and by the way, perhaps sinning, and certainly being negative, or the people who are going out and being helpful, who are thinking how we can help others, and who are praying, all right? So this is something you need to ask yourself. And in China, where they persecute Christians and other people, and recently I saw something, possibly harvest their organs, possibly even kill them to harvest their organs. And no doubt, no question, no irrefragably have quite a lot of corruption. In Wuhan, Christians were donning yellow vests to go out and help people, even though they might die from doing it. What side are you on, boy? Okay, so this is not the creation of God. God wants total well-being. God will use this as a wake-up call if you permit it. May that be permitted in our lives, in our families, in our cities, and in our nations. May this be a helpful wake-up call. May we do like Scripture says, and we'll read it. Familiar passage to many of us. 2 Corinthians 7. But let's start 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. Usually we read the 14th. Let's start with verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, like Australia, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, like is happening now in the Middle East, or if I send pestilence among my people, so I'm no master of Hebrew verb tenses, but a pandemic is a pestilence. Verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Oh, let's just do that. Lord, we come to you. We thank you that we may come to your throne of grace, and we repent of all our ungodly, unbiblical behavior. And we stand in the place of our nation, just as Daniel stood in the place of our nation. And we repent for all our ungodly, unbiblical behavior. Lord, we do not agree with the laws that have been made that ensconce into law contrary to your word. Now we can enumerate those. Lord, we pray against the the hostility and the persecution of Christianity, that I would be afraid to enumerate those, such that this broadcast would be cut off. Lord, heal our land. Grant repentance, the top of the land to the bottom. Grant repentance, and may this nation once again be a nation in covenant, a city set on a hill, a light that's not under a bushel. And we pray it in the mighty, matchless, most powerful name of Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Okay, so enough with the coronavirus. Now, what else I have to say does match this, but it's true all the time. Okay, and here it is. How would you like it if you knew how to help your children be healthier, more intelligent, and even prettier, more handsome? For free. Yes, really. Okay, so just listen to some cutting edge folks talking about the latest research, and I'm going to spare you the citations and so forth, but I will tell you where you can get some more information, as I always do. I would like to think that all of my audience were just great readers, but I can tell from the book links that I have. But anyway, as long as you listen and implement this, great. Go after it. I'll tell you where the books are, and you can drill down and find out what the citations to peer-reviewed journals are. This is seriously scientific, and it doesn't disagree with the Bible in any one little bit. And this is what it is. Teach your children to keep their mouth closed. I'm not talking about speaking less. I am talking about breathing through your nose rather than through your mouth. You should train your children to keep their mouths closed. I'm sure the many families will be very happy to make jokes about this, but it's seriously true. Mouth breathing is detrimental, and it is most detrimental for children. Now, right now, the performance athletes are doing breath training and talking about this research. It's new enough, your doctor probably doesn't know about it, but how much time is he going to take to tell you about things when he's got 7 minutes and he's got to make whatever, an hour? But anyway, so please be thankful, and please listen to me. Mouth breathing. If you are closing your mouth, you will be breathing through your nose, which is the way God intended it. If you are breathing through your nose, then a number of things happen. In the first place, your nose structures itself properly. And so this is very important, that the smallest children sleep with their mouths closed and go around with their mouths closed. There's actually research that the children who are mouth breathers, who go around with their jaws agape, are less intelligent. Now, there are probably two reasons for that, although that research is really old. Two reasons for that. One is that it's possible that they're getting less oxygen and less nitric gas. This is brand new to be talking about that, because that is something that is poisonous outside the body, but when the body manufactures it's used well. More likely, it's simply that they're getting more germs, and the body then is having to deal with those germs, and so rather than developing intelligence, yes, I said in developing intelligence, they are just trying to stay alive and not sick. And so it is well known, a long history, but we didn't know that it was so changeable. And so now the high performance athletes, and this fellow who wrote the book is, and let's see if I can give you the name.
Patrick McCown, M C capital K E O W N, and as you might have gathered from his name, yes, he is Irish. He's going around with tape over his mouth. He needed it years ago when his nose tended to be plugged up, and we'll talk about that. But now he still does it, and he was being interviewed in another podcast, and that podcast interviewer is often talking about the difficulties of flying. He said, oh, that's going to be pretty funny. I'm going to wear my glasses to strain out the blue light, then I'm going to wear a tape over my mouth. Oh, my wife will like that, but the flight attendants might think I look very strange. Anyway, whatever it takes to make the habit of closing your lips. So there is lip seal tape that you can use, paper tape that's made for IVs or something else. But, or you could just create the habit of closing your mouth. And this will better strain out germs and particles, you know, because there are particulate matter in the air. It will cause the right gas flow in and out of the body, the oxygen, the CO2, the nitric, whatever it's supposed to be, is going to be done correctly. It's going to keep the temperature better. God made noses for a reason. And if you have your mouth open and are running in the very cold air, you're going to discover very quickly that this is not optimal. And similarly, it's better if you breathe through your nose in the hot weather. But I'm just telling you about the cold weather because it's easy to test out. And also, it keeps your mouth more moist. And so, if you're waking up with bad breath, you know that you've probably been opening your mouth while you sleep. And this is better for you for your whole life. If you have been a nose breather, then your nostrils will be larger. And it's more difficult to change the size of nostrils when you're an adult. But if you're a child less than 4, the mouth breathers tend to have smaller nostrils. So you don't want that to happen because that causes a problem ongoing for the rest of life. So, yes, really, it can make your child prettier if they're breathing through their nose, they have proper noses. It will make them more intelligent because they're getting more of the right things, like oxygen, and less of the wrong things, like particulate matter in their lungs, and possibly germs, too, because that cilia in the nose is much more likely to expel that detritus. So, and ongoing over the long time. Furthermore, it's good for the muscles. That's why the high-performance athletes are involved in breathing training, breath training, because they want the proper oxygen or the optimal oxygen to their muscles and being able to expel the CO2 most optimally. So I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about exercises. You can read that in Patrick McGowan's book if you're interested in that portion. And the book is theoxygenadvantage.com, theoxygenadvantage.com. Of course, that's for sports figures, for athletes. But if you want more information, fine. But I'm talking to you parents. Your children should not be breathing through their mouths. And you say, well, their nose are plugged up. Well, then the question is, why are their nose plugged up? That's what you should be answering, and that's what you should be working on. So, well, they've got mucus. Yes, well, I'm going to tell you first what McCown says. And then go on and tell you what Dave Asprey said when he interviewed him, and then I'll tell you my personal testimony about this with my grandson. Now, this might be in the opposite order, so just hang on. Okay, so McCown said that he had a problem because his nose was plugged up, his nostrils were plugged. He was an adult, and he discovered this simple exercise actually works to unblock the nose, and it's amazing. You can't believe it. But anyway, so take a normal breath in, take a normal breath out, then with your finger and thumb, pinch your nose so that you can't breathe through it, and sway for a while until you feel like you absolutely have to breathe, and then let go and breathe. But by the time you will have done that, your nostrils will probably be unblocked. Now, that seems incredible to me. Well, I tried it. It worked for me. And Dave Asprey tried it on their phone interview, and it worked for him. He was quite surprised. Of course, I'm not a snot fountain. Dave Asprey then talked about his experience as a child. He lived in a basement room. His bedroom was in the basement of the house, and there was toxic mold there, and this caused a cascading of other problems. But when he was a child, he did have breathing problems, and it would get so bad that sometimes he'd have to go in the middle of the night up to his parents' bedroom and say he was about to pass out. So I don't know exactly what that was. You know, most people would have considered that asthma. But basically, it was a normal reaction to a very bad toxic mold situation. And I think we should have a whole episode on mold, because people don't realize how bad it is. But at any rate, there are a number of things that you're
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.
I clean them with another cleaner, and then I put vinegar, white vinegar, on them. So, and this seems to resist the mildew quite a bit better. And of course, just airing out the rooms help. And be sure that you adequately dry your clothes when you are drying them, and so you don't encourage mold. But address that. And of course, air purifiers are wonderful. The first time I had an air purifier, I think it was a $15 air purifier in the 70s when I lived in Houston. And oh my goodness, what a relief. And that was very simple filter and a very simple fan. And today we have so much better things. You know, the Quadras, sharper image Quadras, and not even using a fan. And there are some knockoffs. And they may have a little ozonation in them, which would kill germs. Don't use a strong ozonator in a child's room. Of course, you probably can't buy those in the States anyway. But a little bit, the Quadras have a little bit. And for a big room, I wouldn't worry about that. You might just want to use a regular good purifier in a small bedroom of a child. So an adult will be able to tell. Be able to detect ozone in the room from the smell, but a small child might not say something, so I wouldn't use that for them. But an air purifier I would definitely use for many, many reasons. And of course, your UVC light would kill mold in the air too, and you can get that installed in your heating cooling system. The installation guy who sells you your HVAC system can't call it mold, he can call it crud, but if it's good enough for the hospitals and your doctor's office, it's good enough for you. I recommend it. It's a very cheap solution, $60. I would guess to buy a cheap fixture and a light bulb, and you can just put it in the closet. you don't want to look at it, but yeah. Or you can just call your HVAC man. Okay, and of course you pay for the installation, but it's an inexpensive solution for your family's health because you want to avoid the toxic mold. Because you want your children to be able to breathe through their nose. We'll talk about toxic mold some more later. And then also, foods and allergies can cause this. So here is my personal testimony. My grandson was brought to me to take care of for a little while because of his problems in school. And he was a snot fountain. All of his brothers were snot fountain. And so when he was in my house, I decided that maybe what we could do is substitute something else for the wheat in his bread. So I had other kinds of bread, and I could maybe give him almond milk instead of milk. And voila, no more a snot fountain. And voila, he could hear better because he wasn't all clogged up. And voila, then his other problems just cleared up because he could hear, because he wasn't a snot fountain. And so clearly he just was having trouble with the wheat, the gluten, and the milk. We know these both of these things cause mucus. And possibly my family has a predisposition having trouble with those things. But everybody is going to have mucus caused by these foods. So ask yourself why your child is having trouble breathing through their nose. And once you remove those mucus-causing things, they can do those exercises. And if reminding them doesn't work, then you can get some help with that. And so, of course, you're not going to want to suffocate your child, obviously. But you do want them to be breathing through their nose so that they can be more healthy, so they can be more intelligent, yes. And for those of you who are concerned about beauty. All right. The Lord gave you your noses for a reason. And whether they are big or button, they probably match with your face. So enjoy them, use them, and encourage that for your children. So there you have it. It's an intelligence boosting, health boosting, sports performance boosting, look boosting, longevity boosting tip for free. All right. Thank you, Sharon. Okay. Go and do it. And you can get Patrick McCown's book, and you can go to his website, theoxygenadvantage.com, and probably lots of other people will talk about this now, but it is new stuff. New stuff. Okay? Thanks.